Just 5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show. Love having this guy on. UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley. And, you know, we're talking a lot of football this week, next week. But I'm so pumped because I'm a basketball guy. And we are, basketball season is right around the corner. And I can't wait to see what this Bears team does. Coach Smiley, how are you, my friend?
Brady, how we doing?
We're hanging in there, man. I'm ready to see some Bears basketball. I know we've got a lot going on, but man, I look down the road and I'm thinking we are not that far away from that first tip-off to see this Bears basketball team in action.
No. It's coming up. It's I think we're like on like official practice 8 or 9 today, but as I told our guys, like on official practice 3, we've already been going for 13 weeks. So we got 8 weeks in the summertime, and then we had like 5 weeks in the fall, non-official before practice actually started. But yeah, I mean it's getting to that point in time where the weather's starting to change. We're starting to see these 60s and these 50s out a little bit, and it's getting here. So I'm really excited for the season.
I'm pumped for this roster too. Obviously, and talking to our listeners, I want them to kind of learn about this roster. But we know Dalen Kuntz, Matt Johnson, those two guys right there. I mean, had great seasons last year. So many memorable moments. But I know Bears fans are just pumped that those two guys are back and going to be leading this Bears program.
Yeah, you know, they're both great players, and they're both, you know, even better kids, and that's true. I'm not saying that. But the thing that's really unique about them, I guess, is a tandem, is they both really like each other. They like playing basketball with each other. And sometimes when you have, you know, two returning all-league guys, I mean, there can be not necessarily jealousy, but just the, you know, touches, right? And I just think they enjoy each other's success so much that having those two guys and having the ball in their hands, you know, with them both being, you know, lead guards, it certainly makes our life easier. They've had a great off season in the summer and the fall, and they look really good. So it's when you start with that, with two great guards that are guys that are the clear leaders of this year's team, but they're the oldest guys. This is Matt's 6th year of college and Dalen's 5th, and so you got 11 years of combined college experience on those two guys. It's pretty good.
Yeah, and I love following along, you know, in their stories and how they progress. Dalen's story is so cool too. You know, he goes to CU. They're kind of loaded with the guard position, and he's kind of having a hard time finding his spot. Comes over here. I mean, he talks so highly of you and your staff, of why that was a no-brainer for him, and then he just quickly grew into this a guy I thought should have been the Big Sky Conference Player of the Year last year.
Yeah, it's really amazing looking at his progression, and he and I were actually looking at that in one of his meetings recently, just like the growth in really every area of his game, whether it's free throw percentage or assist to turnover ratio or, you know, really anything has just grown and grown and grown. The challenge is, since it's gotten so high, I think he's there's some stat that just came out that he's like the only guy like in the country in like the last 2 or 3 years that has averaged over 20 a game on like 52, 41, and 83. Some insane, you know, efficiency and with that, you know, amount of, not just efficiency, but that volume of production. So the goal is, especially the defenses really try to take him away, that he doesn't force the issue. You know, you put 2 or 3 defenders on him, it's going to be hard to score. So at that point in time, you got to be able to, you know, move the ball and that type of thing. So I think that's the biggest thing with Dalen, is just that, you know, that he really embraces kind of what defenses throw at him. But he's been great so far.
Talking to UNC head men's basketball coach Steve Smiley. Talk to us about some other guys on this roster, too. I know Dalton Connect was a difference maker for you guys, seeing Zach Block and some of these other guys. What can you tell us about that starting lineup just yet, or the depth chart a little bit? Can we break into that a bit, Coach?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question, and we're getting closer. If you stay kind of on the older end of the scale, like you mentioned, Dalton Connect. Dalton was a starter last year until he got hurt. In the middle of the season, he hurt his knee and was out for probably 4 to 6 weeks, if I remember right. Missed a big chunk of the season. And then at that point, we moved Drew Cookshausen into the starting lineup. We moved Dalen to the 3. And when Dalton came back, he had a good end of the year, but it just took a long time to get kind of his feet back underneath him. So, You know, I do believe Dalton will start at the three, and then we've got a really good battle going on at the four with two really good veteran players, one being in-house and Bryce Kennedy. You know, and Bryce, you know, he hasn't done a ton statistically yet, but he's had no opportunity because we had Bodie Hume there. So Bryce, I believe, you know, we stat everything and film everything and chart everything, and I think Bryce is poised for a pretty big leap. You know, again, you got to do it when the lights come on, but Bryce has been tremendous. And then our one incoming transfer, Riley Abercrombie, who's transferred in from Rice. Riley's a fifth-year guy. He's a grad transfer. And, you know, Riley's a four that could play a five if you want to put numbers on it, but, you know, really could shoot the ball, you know, similar to Bodie. Again, we'll see when the bright lights come on, but all indications through the summer and fall, he can really, really shoot it. And he's just another really mature player. So I think those guys are kind of really battling out that four spot. And then the five, it's just a huge kind of question mark, to be honest. You know, with Coor John Cooch graduating, you got your in-house guys, you know, Theo and Jamel, and Jamel's dealing with an injury right now. We'll see if we can get him back soon. And then we have two young guys, Brock Wisney and Juju Ramirez, that are doing a great job too. So that position, that post position, has just been a grind. And then, you know, as you kind of round things out, we have. And it's a challenge because, you know, with Matt and Dalen playing a lot of minutes, and I'm assuming Dalton's going to play a lot, but we have four other guys that have been awesome. Zach Block, again, Zach's like Bryce, like Theo, like Jamel, that we believe he's a good player, and he did, you know, get a role last year, but it was limited because of the guys that were in-house ahead of him. But Zach right now, you know, like in practice, shooting 42% from three, leading us in assist to turnover ratio. He's leading us in deflections, and really he has probably the smallest wingspan on the team, and it's not bad, but I mean, we got a pretty big team, but he's just so active that he's leading us in deflections. Connor Creech, we gave a scholarship to, you know, he's probably more of a wing, but he's really gotten to the point where I could see him create a role. And then our other two freshman guys, you know, Brock Wisney and Juju Ramirez are freshmen at the five on that end, but our other two freshmen, Langston Reynolds and Caleb Shaw, have been, I don't want to put too much on their plate right away, but They have been, you know, eye popping early on for our staff. Like, whoa, like these guys are really good, and they play differently. But they're guys that have, you know, I think at our level in our league, the very unique athleticism and size to them both. They're both big, athletic, very explosive. I've just been really excited, you know, with their growth. So long story short, is that Babylon here that, you know, I think we're going to play deeper this year, Brady. I really do. I think every coach this time of year says that. I don't know if they really believe it, but I thought last year we had a clear cut, six best players, and then kind of the other guys. This year, I don't feel that way at all. I feel that, you know, obviously Matt and Dalen are tremendous talents, but I think we're going to be able to play legitimately nine deep. And when I say play nine deep, I think we got like 12 guys that could play. I just don't know yet who's going to win those roles. So we're doing a lot of scrimmaging in addition to just our basic practice stuff and letting the guys kind of sort it out themselves. They're the ones that ultimately determine playing time. But it's been a really good battle so far.
Don't you kind of like that, too? I mean, obviously you could say if you have six or seven and it's like those guys, they're so good that there's not even a question. But on the other side, you it's almost a good problem to have where now you're pulling out your hair trying to figure out minutes for everybody.
I think it's a great problem to have. Our practices, you know, you like to think that they're always competitive, but our practices are so competitive right now. And that's whether, you know, we split off into blue and gold, whether we go old versus young or we blend it together. There have been times, you know, and our old guys, you know, the Matt Damn, they'll tell you there have been times where I'll put a younger team out there and they beat the old guys. And that's both teams going toe-to-toe, playing as hard as they can. But I think our young guys are really good. And they're not just good, they're smart. So they're picking up the system probably faster than usual, and they're extremely competitive. And they don't realize that, you know, they're 17, 18, the other guys are 22, 23. That it's you get between those lines, and it's just, you know, it's one team against the next. So I just think the competition level, which does nothing but help your team out, when everyone knows every day you better be ready to go or you're probably going to get exposed.
We're talking to UNC basketball coach Steve Smiley. Coach, I shot Matt Johnson a message the other day, and I said, hey, you should be in a movie or something, because I saw him on that non-conference schedule commercial, and dude, he was like Leonardo DiCaprio out there. I was moved.
Shocking talent by young Matt. Shocking. And, boy, you know, Matt, you know, again, he's in his 6 year of college. When Matt came here 6 years ago, he was about as shy and reserved of a kid as you could ever get. Now he's doing videos and commercials, and it's just great. But that's probably, you know, what coaching is really about, just seeing these guys grow up. And you know, it's been a privilege to have a guy like Matt around for 6 years and just see him grow and mature. he did a good job on that deal.
Oh, I loved it. I love when you guys do that, man. It's so much fun. Let's talk about that non-conference schedule. I mean, I'm seeing Houston on there, Baylor on there, CSU on there, CU on there, Air Force. I mean, my goodness, you guys are going to be battle-tested.
Yeah, you know, it's a fine line, and you know, you can see the schedule out there. We got 30 games, and you know, 31 is the absolute max you can play. You know, for us in the 30, which means 12 non-conference games, it's got to be as challenging and as daunting of a schedule as we've ever had. I think it's two things. You know, one, we always are trying to play a few of those bigger schools, and we need to do that. But I do think, and I experienced it, you know, when I was at Weber State before I came out to Northern Colorado, and I didn't do the scheduling, but I saw our scheduling coach, you know, him pulling his hair out. He's now the head coach, Eric Duff. But at that time, you know, Weber was winning and was really good, picked to win the league every year, and they couldn't find anyone to play him. And so that's how their schedules got so hard. They had a year where they won the championship, and they had one Division I win going into Big Sky play.
Wow.
One. And then, you know, with Coach Linder, same thing, that as we started to win, and I was a scheduling guy, but as we started to win, it got harder and harder and harder to schedule anything. Whether that's the, you know, again, those kind of Power Five schools or whatever, it just gets harder. And now, you know, with us having a great year last year, it's the same situation that, you know, it was hard to get a schedule together. And I think especially out west, there's only so many teams and, you know, everyone can kind of pick and choose who they want to play. So, when you look at that, yeah, you got Houston, which in most polls is number one in the country preseason. Yeah. You got Baylor, which is kind of between 3, 4, 5 in the country. But either way, in a span of 8 days, we're playing, you know, I kind of compared it in football to people asking, well, what does that really mean? Because it's sometimes they don't look at it like, well, it's like playing Duke or Kentucky. It's the same thing. And I explain to people, it's kind of like in football playing Alabama and Georgia in a week and a half.
Jeez.
So, you know, again, like, it's funny because our guys are really excited about it. They're not going to be afraid of the spotlight or the opponent. But you also know going in that these are tremendous teams. And I just look at it like, okay, you know, it's going to be a great experience. We're going to go in there, you know, and be as competitive as possible. We have a young team in some areas, an old team in some areas. So we're going to learn a lot about our guys quickly. And to me, the faster you can speed up your learning curve and get to whatever your roster needs to eventually look like, we've got to be good by, you know, late December, which is when the Big Sky starts all the way through. And all these challenges, all these different styles, you know, Air Force's style is so much different than New Mexico's style, is different than Houston, and you can go on and on and on. So I think we've got a lot of tough games. We got some exciting games. You know, we got two Mountain West teams coming into our gym in Air Force and San Jose State, and that, I don't know if that's happened in the last, who knows, 10, 20 years. So we've got a couple, you know, Mountain West schools coming in. It's just going to be a great challenge. So we're excited about it. I know it's going to be hard. I know we're just going to have to kind of ride the wave and figure it out as time goes on. But we will learn a lot about our team pretty early, for sure.
Yeah, very, like, one of the most impressive non-conference schedules I've seen for this UNC Bears team. So I can't wait for that. Coach, you guys do such a great job. You know, we talked about Matt doing a little bit of acting there. But you guys do such a great job of getting out and about in the community, getting your teammates to support other sports under UNC. And I think that's such a special thing, too.
Yeah, we've tried to really make a big concerted effort to do more, especially, you know, the last 3 years, you know, 2 or 3 years ago or whatever, you know, it was COVID. There was no games, or there was no stands or fans or whatever. But I just feel like, you know, at a place like UNC that does have a lot of teams, a lot of student athletes, you know, that we can get out and support. And so we kind of create our own little four game series. And this is in addition to what the administration does. They do a deal that's really cool called Bears Supporting Bears. And each team, and I think there's like 17 or 18 Division I teams on our campus, but each team has one Bears Supporting Bears night, which in theory, all other sports, if they're in town, should go to the game. In addition to that, what we've done is say, look, we have these three fall sports that really need our help and support. And let's reach out to every other non-fall sport and let's go in together. And basically, you know, under like a tailgate idea, let's go to their game. So we did a volleyball game, and I think it was the first tailgate for a volleyball game ever. And,
wow.
And it was great. You know, the school came behind it, and then it turned, it was just going to be like us and the wrestling team. And so now our guys get to know the wrestlers better. But then the school got behind it, and now we had a food truck and free food for the first, whatever, 100 students. And it was just awesome. They brought out a couple portable hoops, and there's this random tailgate for a volleyball game. And I thought that was great. And then we did a football game, first football game, which was Big Sky football game against, I believe, it was Idaho State. And we had us, golf, women's basketball, and women's softball. And we had like 80 students, and it was kind of part of a bigger student tailgate. And it just was awesome. And then we just did one. We got rained out. We had a big one at soccer with our men's baseball team. And our new baseball coach, he's like, well, let me host it. And we're grilling out for both the teams. They got like 45 guys. So we had like 70 of us. And then it was the one night of the year where we had crazy rain. So we were all stuck in the dugout with lightning and rain. And we got the burgers in. And then finally they delayed the game so late that we were like, hey, look, we're going to come back to another game. It was like torrential downpours. But I just think the teams that, you know, you go out to those things, those coaches appreciate it,
yeah.
as we would appreciate, you know, the sports come to our games. And they're just, you know, we're trying to continue to kind of take the torch and create that sense of community amongst our student-athletes. So I think it's been good, and I think our guys have really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's one of the things, Coach, I love about what you're doing. And again, these other coaches you talk to, that's how you build it. You get everybody involved there together, and then the fans start rolling around, and everybody's supporting each other. And I think you just do that better than most. So, man, just wishing you the best of luck. I think I'm going to be seeing you next week. So we'll be chatting. I'm looking forward to that. But one of my favorites, Coach. I love getting together with you, and we're looking forward to a fantastic season.
I appreciate it, Brady, as always. Thanks for having me on. It's always great catching up.
All right, my friend. There he is, okay. UNC men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley. This is going to be a good team. Kaur Junkooch is gone, so replacing that five. Kaur really did a good job of growing up with this team. Like 2 years ago, I was like, I don't know if that guy's going to – I don't know, but that's basketball, man. I mean, I remember seeing Connor Creech – was it two seasons ago? And I'm like, I don't even know who that guy is. And now Coach is like, this guy could be something. You know, you never know. But it starts with Dalen Kuntz and Matt Johnson. Those two guys are special basketball players. Both were, what, first team, second team, Big Sky guys? Was Dalen the first team and then Matt was second team?
I believe so, yes.
And then Dalen was robbed of Big Sky Conference Player of the Year. Dalen, we're going to be working with Dalen again, too. You know, it'd be cool if we could get them both to do something. NIL people, call us. We want to get both. We want to get the Dalen, Matt, John. Man, wouldn't that be sweet?
The best backcourt in the Big Sky.
Gotta be. No question, right? Those two guys, man, they're good dudes. They really are. And Steve Smiley, man, we were talking about like what Jay Norvell's been doing. Steve Smiley's been doing this with UNC. It's such a great level. And I'm really telling you, fan, it's fun to go to these games. I mean, UNC almost went into Moby Arena, which we all know how ridiculously hard that place is to play. I mean, they made that Moby Madness. UNC almost beat them, man. They were up by like 13 at one point. Of course, Bodie Hume's just going off in that game. But I remember, I'm sitting there, I wore a black shirt, Angel, trying to say somewhat neutral. Because I'm a big CSU basketball guy. I'm a big UNC basketball guy. That's like picking between two children there. I love them both. But I'm hearing Rams fans looking up at me, and they're like, this Bears team, dude. This Bears team's kind of legit, right? And, I said, that's not going to be – if you lose, it's not going to be like a bad loss. UNC's a good team. I mean, they made it to the Big Sky Conference Championship last year.
Yep, Big Sky Tournament final, I believe, and then went to the CBI, made it all the way to the final, and had a couple of good comeback games in that tournament. So exciting to hear, you know – what this new team is going to look like. You have the veteran experience and a good mixture of young guys, a lot of unproven guys that are going to get their opportunity. And I love what Coach Smiley said about playing, you know, 8-9 deep. I love that. Get these guys fresh legs, keep them rotating, keep the defenses off guard, and just let this team find themselves. They're going to have a good month and a half of non-conference to get ready, but I think they could take the Big Sky by storm.
Yeah, and it's funny with the two big guys he talked about that are primarily in this competition. You've got Theo Hughes and Riley Abercrombie. Theo's from England, right? And then Riley's from Australia. So that kind of goes to talk to about, like, big men in the NBA. A lot of them are coming from all over the place, not inside the country. You're seeing it at that college level, too.
No, that's great. I watched a little bit of Abercrombie's film. He's just a big, tall guy. He's kind of like just a taller, little skinnier Bodie Hume, but he can play defense well, shoot the ball pretty well. So having someone down in the paint there that's going to be able to help you out, open up the lane a little bit for Dalen to just speed through there because he loves to do that stuff. So exciting to see how Coach Smiley gets his team to put together.
Theo's a beast-looking dude, too, man.
He's a big, big man.
He's just huge, and I'll be curious to see. Maybe he wins that spot. Who knows? Riley Abercrombie's from, is it Wollongong? Wollongong, Australia.
We'll have to ask.
Yeah, we'll have to. It's Wollongong. Sounds right. Wollongong? It's cool. I love it. Riley Abercrombie. I'll be curious to see how he does for the Bears. 26 minutes after the hour. The Colts have a curse on their hands. We're going to talk about that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. A Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I think a smothered burrito and maybe a margarita sounds pretty good. Right about now. Gear you up for Broncos Colts tonight, Thursday night football at Cable's Pub and Grill, Fiesta Thursdays. For $10.99, you get a smothered burrito. Name a place that's doing house margaritas the right way for $4. $4 house margaritas. That's Cable's Pub and Grill. That's where my friends meet. I love it. You know what? I'm feeling generous. We gave away a $15 gift certificate for Top Text Tuesday. I'm feeling generous. Let's give one away right now. It's Thursday. Maybe you're looking for a place to go watch the game or just eat before the game. Yeah, I'm feeling good about that. So I'll tell you what. Let's do caller number 7. No. Something Broncos-y. Three? Okay, let's do caller number 3. Makes sense. Caller number 3, you get a $15 gift certificate to Cable's Pub and Grill. And please tell them we sent you from The Whole Show. Caller 3, 970-353-1310. That's 970-353-1310. Caller 3, you're getting a $15 gift certificate to Cable's Pub and Grill. 32 minutes after the hour, Angel. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
.1237. Broncos Colts tonight. Must win. Must freaking win. No excuses. Gotta find a way to win this game. Because if you don't, I'm pressing it. I'm pressing it, Angel. We're slamming it down. And we're vacating hopes of playoffs. Like, that's how big this game is. Because if not, it's not just the loss, but it's gonna tell you everything, you know. Is this team not built to beat bad to average teams? And if they're not built to beat bad to average teams right now, then what makes us believe they're going to be built to beat good to great teams in the second half of the season? I talked about it all offseason. I said this team has to win the bulk of their games in the first half. It's still possible. It is still possible they can complete what I have them 6-2 before the bye week, I believe. So I could be wrong on that. It's still possible that they do that, obviously. It's mathematically possible. They've lost 2 games. Feels like they've lost 4, the way we talk about them. Which, again, rightfully so. There's been a lot more negative than positive at this point. I just feel like the negative's been decreasing a little bit more, even with the Raiders loss. But the big negatives, like, can the coach get a play call in? Can he make the right decision? You know, can Russell Wilson, you know, throw the ball consistently? And he did that against the Raiders. Got to beat the Colts, though. Got to find a way to do it. And the Colts are so interesting, man. You and I were talking about this in one of the breaks earlier about Andrew Luck. Is that one of the guys that we're all just going to say, man, we were robbed of greatness? I'm not going to say anybody's going to be Tom Brady, but we were robbed of a Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers type guy that was always going to be in the thick of it for a title, but the Colts never really built an offensive line around the guy, and he just kept getting beat to hell every single week, every single season, where he finally just said, I've made a good living doing this, but it's not worth it anymore. I'm torn up. I want to be able to walk and play with my kids. And I applaud that from him. But, man, talk about one of the greats that could have been. I mean, a very good quarterback, but he would have been a no-brainer Hall of Fame had he stayed healthy and stayed in the league.
Definitely. At that time, he was kind of being set up as the heir apparent to Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
Kind of. He was leading the new quarterbacks,
he was
right?
The next generation out of, you know, he had the older guys like Brees and Rodgers and Rivers and all these older quarterbacks that were on their way out. And Andrew Luck was kind of becoming what Josh Allen has become.
Yeah, yeah.
He's that superstar, that face of the league that everyone wants to see. And he had that same type of ability on the field to throw the ball, to run it. And he was physical and big. And he was just a dynamic playmaker at the quarterback position. And was one of the first to really change up that narrative to, oh, I can throw it and I can run it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. He was kind of the perfect package, wasn't he? I mean, he wasn't Lamar Jackson as far as his legs go. But he moved pretty good inside the pocket and around the pocket, could take off. So tough. I remember one time, they're on the goal line. I don't know who the running back was at the time. Goes in, he fumbles it at the goal line. The ball rolls back like 3 yards. Andrew Luck just puts his head in, grabs the ball, and Supermans that thing across the goal line and gets in. I don't know many quarterbacks that do that. Most quarterbacks just fall on that ball. Andrew Luck grabbed it, picked it up, boom. It was so cool. Think about the Colts, though, like their trajectory. They're Peyton Manning from 1998 to 2010. They're always in the mix. You got, you know, they went to, what, 2 Super Bowls with Manning. They won one of them. They have arguably the greatest quarterback. I mean, you can make an argument for it, at least in that top 5. I think Tom Brady's got most of that nailed down just because of the numbers and the Super Bowls. But they're rolling. Then he gets hurt. He has the 4 neck surgeries. He's going to miss the 2011 season. They're going to go with Curtis Painter. Curtis Painter. Where's that guy now? No idea. Probably a painter. That would be a cool line of work for him.
It'd be fitting.
Yeah. So they start losing. They just keep losing. And then they're like, we're going to be the worst team in the league. That's, I remember they were like talking that the narrative was like, can Peyton Manning be MVP not playing a year? Like having not even played, can he be considered the most valuable player? Because that's how valuable he is. So the Colts get to that point where they're like, I don't know what their record was, but they're bad. And they're like, the campaign began. Suck for Luck. Let's just be terrible. And Manning had 4 neck surgeries. So he's played. I mean, at that point, how many years had Manning played? Quite a bit, right?
12.
He only played 4 years with Denver, so it's not like he had that much time left after 2011. So the Colts, I think, did the right thing. They looked at it and said, we're in a position where we could be terrible. We know Manning's probably, even if the neck surgeries aren't an issue, he's probably on his way out soon, which he was, 4 years. So we're already in this position. Let's just draft Andrew Luck. And everything we heard about Andrew Luck was like, this guy's going to be the next, the real thing. Like, this is the most sure thing since John Elway. No question marks. No Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen played in Wyoming. Like, there was really no question marks about this guy. He was just that good of a quarterback. And you knew he was going to be good. And the Colts did, too. So they gambled, kind of a gamble, and said, Peyton, we love you, man. but we got to take the shot. We're in that position. And I think all parties understood. I think Manning's camp understood. The Colts understood where they were. So they sucked for Luck. They got Luck. They released Manning. The free agent watch began, and the Broncos got him. And if you're the Colts, you went on and had some great years with Andrew Luck. A lot of playoff years. But all the while, Peyton Manning's neck surgery, he recovered from it, and he was the one who went to two more Super Bowls, not the Colts and Andrew Luck. I mean, talk about a roller coaster. Talk about just a terrible situation for the Colts. They think they're gambling the right way, and it didn't pay off. Who knows if the Colts would have, if Manning would have stayed, if the Colts would have done what the Broncos did. I mean, the Broncos really had a great defense. They were building a defense, especially when they won Super Bowl 50. They were an elite defense. But they still would have been and they were a playoff team with Luck. They just didn't get over that hump. And then, okay, so Manning gets his two Super Bowl appearances. He wins one. He's in the AFC Championship two times, wins the AFC Championship twice. And as for the Colts, they're good. Luck's taken a beating. Andrew Luck played three seasons, and then he played only seven games in 2015. He played 15 games in 2016. He was out for the season in 2017, came back for his final season in 2018, and then called it quits. I mean, if you're the Colts, don't you look at that and go, damn, we gambled and kind of lost because you don't have a Super Bowl to show for it. Did the Colts go to one? They went to one AFC championship because they beat the Broncos.
It was the Patriots deflate game.
That's right. That's right. Because and the Colts beat the Broncos, and that was the game that John Elway and John Fox had differences of opinions of how to get over the hump, and he wanted to go out kicking and screaming, and they lost to the Colts. John Fox was done. So the Colts really, that's all they really had to show for it, was one trip to the AFC Championship, and it was Deflategate. Patriots go on and win that game. But, and now after Andrew Luck, it was Jacoby Brissett for the next year. Then 2020 was Philip Rivers. Good old Philip Rivers had his opportunities to come one more. It went one more year. He was all right with the Colts. Like, okay. But he was kind of okay the last couple of years with the Chargers, too. His time faded the last few years. And then they went with another guy that's been there before, and Carson Wentz. And that didn't work out. Now they're just doubling down. Let's go again. Let's try another guy that's been around the block for a while, in Matt Ryan, and so far, that hasn't been working out for them. Are the Colts cursed because they sucked for Luck and released one of the most lovable football players to ever do it in Peyton Manning? There's a curse.
I think it's definitely plausible in that, you get an Andrew Luck and you're trying to set your team up, and you can imagine the Colts were thinking, we're going to have Andrew Luck for 10, 15 years. Like, we're going to have another Peyton Manning here. Let's build up this team. We're going to go, start a dynasty with this Colts franchise. And they just haven't been able to do it in the last 10 years. And it's just like, you went from all this success with Peyton to a little bit of success with Luck. You lost both of them.
Yeah.
And now you're just like struggling to stay afloat.
Think about that. Like, Broncos fans, you did something with your great quarterbacks. We'll see what happens with Russ. But you won two Super Bowls with your great quarterback in John Elway. You went to two with your great quarterback in Peyton Manning. You could be the Colts. Now, they did their thing with Manning, but they couldn't do it with Luck. The Broncos did it with both of their guys that they were supposed to do it with. The Colts were supposed to do it with Andrew Luck. And they couldn't get him protected, man. They couldn't get a good offensive line really around him to keep him upright, to the point where he's finally just like, I'm done, man. This is too much. I'm done.
At a young age, too, like, what, 6 years in the NFL?
Yeah, 6 years. Do you think this is what we're going to see more? Because, okay, guys play their rookie contracts, what, 4 years? They play their rookie contract. They see if they're good enough, like a Dalton Reisner. Can I get another contract extension? Because that's going to be way more than what I was making. And then after that, we'll be done. I sign a 4-year contract extension, and I play maybe 3 years of it. That trend could be realistic, man. And especially with the concussion thing, like the Tua thing, I told you, I think the Tua stuff's going to go away. For better or worse, it's going to go away. It's how the NFL operates. We're going to forget about it in 2 weeks. But there are some players that watch that game and got freaked out. There are some family members of those players that got freaked out, saw that. And I think a lot of players now, the money is video game numbers like never before. I mean, hell, a decent player makes more than what Dan Marino made. I mean, that's the way it is. A decent, hell, Case Keenum probably made more than Dan Marino. I don't know the numbers on that. Marino probably did pretty good in endorsements, and I think he was a great actor in that Ace Ventura movie. But you should see what that is. I'm just curious. Like, what has Case Keenum made in his career, and what is Dan Marino? I'm just thinking of a great quarterback in the 90s versus just a guy in Case Keenum, a backup, and had two, you know, he signed a two-year deal with the Broncos to start. But, like, a guy like that probably made just as much or close to it. Maybe I'm way the hell off, but you get my point. 12:49 the time. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll start getting into more Broncos, Colts. The final hour of the show is coming up. I got my picks. We'll get to today in the NFL. Thursday night special. It's going to be jam-packed. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and their Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Let's go. Let's get Denver Broncos a win tonight. You got the Colts coming into town. You got to be better than this team. What are you, Denver? We have to find out tonight. I'm tired of it. I am. I'm getting tired of it. I'm tired of, oh, we're hacking, and oh, Russ isn't cooking, and he's corny, and oh, Melvin fumbles. It's like, okay, fine. Shut him up. Shut him up. Shut me up. Please. Don't turn off the radio. I want to see what this team is made of. I'm tired of blanking around. I want to see this Broncos team do what we thought they would do to start this season. Get Russell Wilson and, you know, create some space around him in the pocket so he has some room to move around. Melvin Gordon, just don't fumble the ball. That's it. Don't. Just, if you don't do that, everybody's good. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Will Melvin Gordon redeem himself tonight? Will that happen? And the options are yes, no, and it's going to take a lot more than one great game.
He's going to have plenty of opportunities. Latavius Murray is not expected to be activated tonight.
So we're going with two running backs?
And Andrew Beck.
Well.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not an insider.
I like Andrew Beck. I'm sorry. I like... Who's that fullback I asked for the
Kyle
night?
Kyle Juszczyk.
Could Juszczyk?
Get you a Kyle Juszczyk trading card just to hold on to.
And I like him. That's the thing. I don't know. The older I get, man, I'm just like, eh. Why did his name? It's not Smith. I don't know what it is.
You still have fullbacks now?
Yeah, seriously. I want to see fullbacks. Dude, that's awesome. Let's go. Andrew Beck could be our Kashushamushin. Or whatever his name is. Juszczyk?
Juszczyk.
Juszczyk. Like a used check?
Exactly.
That's how I'm going to remember it. Let's go, Andrew Beck. Time to be Juszczyk. 12:57 the time. We'll be right back.